Mr. Carr?
Yes, I'm still here.
Did you hear that wonderful testimony that Christine gave in reference to Dr. Hattie? Oh, my goodness.
That's Dr. Washington every day. When she can help us to go to that need because that's her makeup. Whenever that person right there in that studio see a need in anybody, whatever race it is, she is there to fulfill. God has her in a special place at a special time.
That is so true.
That's why that book is going to be successful.
Yes, it is.
It's going to open doors for everybody else.
Yes.
This book may become a movie.
Yes.
It may become everything.
Yes. And Oprah.
Oprah got to get Dr. Washington on that show.
Yes.
We're going to make that happen.
Yes, it is.
We are going to make that happen. Her story must get out there.
Yes.
She has helped a lot of people.
Yes, she has.
You know, someone said that after they read the book, one of my students, who was a grad student, she's a teacher, said that she was going to be using it for her class because it's really living history.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what do you say, Kevin?
No, I said absolutely. I'm just confirming what you're saying.
I'm talking about what happened to me and what happened to me during the time of the Brown versus Board of Education, what happened with them closing my school and how I survived and what was happening during the time of my survival. During that time, you had Dr. King coming down to Farmville, Virginia. You had the strike at the R.R. Moton High School. And you had all of Thurgood Marshall and all of the other lawyers coming down to Prince Edward County. And that county was really the reason they had enough plaintiffs in order to have that class action lawsuit for the Brown versus Board of Education. It started in other states with Topeka, Kansas. But at the same time, they didn't have enough plaintiffs to make it a class action.
Oh.
But when the Farmville situation happened and you had those parents that had the students out there, then they had enough of the students to be plaintiffs for that particular lawsuit. So there were 117 plaintiffs that came out of Farmville, Virginia for that class action suit. So again, I was living witness during all that time, and even though I was in Norfolk, I was watching everything that was going on because my father was heavily involved with the NAACP, the Masons, and other organizations that helped. A lot of the Jewish people, a lot of the Quakers came in to help teach those students who were out of school for 5 years.
Wow. That's exceptional because a lot of us haven't had Brown versus Brown directly impact. We didn't live through that.
No.
You know, we read about it.
Right.
It helped us to get an education, but you actually lived through that.
I was in the fifth grade when they closed my schools in 1959. Now, even though the civil rights case was passed back in say, 1954, but because of the massive resistance in the state of Virginia, they said, no, we're not going to go to school with African-Americans. We're just not going to do it. So for 5 years, there was massive resistance. So they actually closed the schools in 1959. All of the schools in Prince Edward County were closed. So again, that was how it affected me. Some people never did go back to school. If they were in fifth grade, sixth grade, or whatever, that was where they stopped. And some that did go back to school, can you imagine being in the fifth grade and then all of a sudden you are 5 years older and you're going to be in the 10th grade? You know, being 5 years older. You know, a lot of kids just didn't want to go back to school being that old, being in the fifth grade.
Right.
So it was you know, what was interesting when Dr. Burnett sent Kevin to me, Dr. Burnett knew that when I went to Norfolk State after I finished high school, I just walked on the campus and just trying to find my homeroom. Now, I'm a first-generation college student, so I didn't know how do you go to college.
Me too.
I just walked on the campus and asked, where is my homeroom? And the lady at the information desk said, excuse me, have you been admitted? And I just looked at her blankly because I didn't know what that meant.
Right.
She said, have you applied? I still looked at her because nobody told me you had to apply.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so interesting. And I often go back. I was really like a foster kid.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt only went to the ninth grade, and she didn't push education. She's like, you better get married.
Right.
Find a husband
and
get married. And so I was determined I was going to go to college and be a teacher.
And
my dad would say, a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a teacher, a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
It made a difference. So I stepped on the campus and looking for my homeroom. And when they found out I had not applied, they just took me by the hand and took me down to the office and said, this young lady wants to go here, but she has not applied.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't make fun of me. They just helped me to apply, and
that's
I didn't even know you had to pay.
Right.
You didn't have to pay in high school.
Right.
So then they helped me to get a national defense loan, and the rest is history.
Wow.
And that's one of the reasons I love small colleges, particularly HBCUs, because they take more time
for
first-generation students.
They sure do.
And that's why
we don't know.
Kevin to me, they go see Dr. Washington.
Right.
You know, anybody's having difficulty, didn't know what to do,
go
see, and I'm in fundraising.
Uh-huh.
I'm not in registration.
Uh-huh.
Go see Dr. Washington, and I will pick up the phone, call whomever, whatever office,
Get
them straight.
That's
rather than saying, this is not my job.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I love working with students who want to be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't know how, we got people at Coppin State, Bowie State, any university that will help do that. I have friends at Towson, UMBC. I just pick up the phone and call them and say,
absolutely.
I have a person who doesn't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
Because you're helping. And so the Lord has helped me to have a whole cadre of friends that I can pick up the phone to call people at different universities.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got a niece over there. I call them. Everybody's my niece and nephew.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I said, just tell them, Aunt, Dr. Washington, your niece.
Right.
Your aunt. And I got a niece or nephew over there. And they've been there 7 years.
Yes.
Why? They don't know what course. They're just taking courses.
Mm.
Are they a professional student or you somebody going to help them?
Right.
And they said, who is it? Tell them to come see me.
Absolutely.
But a lot of our students just don't know what to do. They just take courses, and don't know that you got to have courses in the program.
Absolutely.
I had those people to help me at Norfolk State, and I'm passing it on to Coppin State.
So I just appreciate you being a great mentor. And you talked about being a mentor of mothers and fathers in your book in chapter 9.
Yes.
And you put the definition of what is a mentor. And it said, according to Webster Dictionary, a mentor is someone who teaches or give help and advice to a less experienced and often younger person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have been mentoring many.
Yes. Because I got all of those mentors in my book. As a matter of fact, if I had put everybody in the book, it would have been a whole book of just mentoring mothers and fathers. And I just had to pick out some really ones that stood out in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, I said in the book, all of us, if you just stop and think for a while, some of us think we got where we are by ourselves.
No, none of us did.
Some of us, you met them.
Yeah.
They just think they had it all, knew it all, and nobody helped them to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But if they stop and think for a moment, everybody has somebody who either said something, gave you that look to make you believe that you were smart.
That's right.
That you could do something.
Mm-hmm.
All of those people, if you just take a list of those people, my set part is I did not get to tell some of my mentor mothers and fathers before they died how important they were in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my saddest regret.
Mm-hmm.
I just tell people, if you got people in your life that has helped you, give them their flowers now.
That's right.
Let them
tell
know
them
how
thank
they have
you.
Influenced you. And some of
absolutely.
Them don't even know it.
Absolutely.
And so if you let them know it now, that's people live to just see if they made a difference in somebody's life.
That's right. So, Mr. Carr, hold on. We have another caller. Hold on, okay? Hey, Dr. Owens, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing lovely.
What a wonderful show, Dr. Washington.
Yes.
Hi, Dr. Owens.
Yes. Dr. Owens, can you hold on 1 second? We're going to take a quick sponsor break and we'll come right back to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Hey, Baltimore, welcome back to the Ask Dr. B Show. I am Dr. B, and we have Dr. Hattie Washington in the house today. If you know Dr. Hattie Washington, please call in at 410-481-1010, and let's talk about what great inspiration she was to you while she was at Coppin State University. And we have Dr. Owens on the line. Hi, Dr. Owens.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Yes, and Dr. Washington.
How are you, Dr. Owens?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you. And I know Mr. Carr is also on the line.
Yeah.
I can just tell you how excited and meaningful your book is. And thank you so much. I just want to say it publicly for sharing your memoirs with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Owens.
I mean, being such a blessing and inspiration to so many people. Now, I know that your book talks about, besides the blessings that have come your way and the successes, there have also been challenges.
Yes.
We live in a time of challenge. And so I just want to hear you share some words of wisdom for people, and especially for our students,
mm-hmm.
who perhaps think that they can't do it, or that they have so much on their plate that they can't contribute to growth in the community in a positive way. You've done it all. And so you are my mentor of wisdom. And so if you would share some of that wisdom and inspiration, I would be so appreciative.
Over the years in teaching students, particularly special education students who were really smart kids but were told they had behavior problems or they're emotionally disturbed, all the tags that you put on kids, mostly African-American males, and working with teachers now to work with those type children to get the most out of those children. Often think about when I was their age, when I was, say, 6th, 7th grade, when I was living with a relative who didn't want me to study, didn't promote education. As a matter of fact, I had to study under the cover with the flashlight because they just didn't value education, and I had to turn off the lights. They couldn't burn electricity, things of that sort. And I say to students, you got electricity. You got people who are encouraging you. You got people who are backing you. What is your reason?
Mm-hmm.
What is your problem?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you keep yourself in school?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you go to school? You got more opportunities now than I had back then.
Mm-hmm.
You have more opportunities now. Look, even my boys at Aunt Hattie's place, they look at President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
They say, we got a black president, so that means, can we be president, Aunt Hattie?
Absolutely.
I say, you can be anything
you want,
but
be.
The first thing you got to do, you got to prepare yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have a purpose in life. Then you got to be persistent,
mm-hmm.
and then you got to give of yourself to be there. My pastor preached today about the different P's. If you want to be a leader like King, you can be a leader like King, but this is what it's going to take. So if Dr. Owens, I guess I could almost summarize my pastor's sermon today. They got to have a purpose.
Okay.
They got to prepare themselves. They got to be persistent. And at the end of the day, they have to make sure they understand that they got a passion, have to be, have a passion for whatever they want to be. They got to have a passion about that particular career.
Absolutely.
And then that will help them to prepare themselves. So those are the P's that I would say that they could have to have, the lessons that they can learn, mm-hmm. and the purpose to be what they want to be.
Yeah. And I think that all four of those P's are extremely, extremely important. And thank you for sharing them. You know, it's I think also often we think that we're not good enough to do something.
Yes.
Or we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I like this, because if you have a passion for something,
yes.
there's nothing that should stand in your way.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Nothing. And it's that persistence, because also often we get hung up in other things. You know, in teaching the sciences, I often tell my students that they have probably selected probably one, or if not the hardest discipline that there is on the campus, and that there will be many evenings that they will not be able to hang out and to go and, you know, just do fun stuff
mm-hmm.
with their classmates. But if their passion is there, they have to persist. They have to prepare. They have to move and walk in purpose. And I use that walk in purpose a lot. And I think that, Dr. Washington, you just summarized it so nicely. And I think that these peas, I am going to ask for your permission because I'm going to make a poster.
So restate the peas again. You have to have passion. You have to have a purpose.
Yeah, to prepare. Prepare
and be persistent.
Yeah, that is straight from my pastor, the Reverend Dr. Haywood A. Robinson, from his sermon today, talking about the characteristics of a leader like King. You can be a leader like King, but in my book, I talk about how students need to, first of all, they need to be obedient.
Yeah.
If they can't see their future, they need to be obedient to someone who can see the future through them. If you don't have high expectation of yourself, and many students don't, if someone says, I see you as a lawyer, I see you as a teacher, and this is what you need to do to get there, don't say, well, I don't have any hope because I don't have a home. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you know, I'm not going to be anything. My dad is in jail. My uncle's in jail. So I know I'm not going to be anything because people have told me I'm not going to be anything. You got to be obedient and you got to try to see what somebody else sees in you, because eventually if you put forth effort and you believe it, you will achieve it. And so if you just ready, I would say if you relegate yourself to failure, then it's going to come true.
But
is the glass half full? Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty?
Yes, but I think that you just said something that was very important when you said that often students are told that they cannot be something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could just take a moment and talk about the spoken word and what we say to our young people and to our children, how that impacts.
Absolutely.
It
can be negative or positive. If you criticize students and have low expectation, many times it will come true. If the same, take the same kid and you give them a lot of praise, you give them a lot of high expectation, and you see something in them, many times that will come true because it's high expectation. So I often teach parents, when I tell parents, don't try to be your kid's friend.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Yes.
You are the parent. And if you know that kid has talent because they came from you, and God doesn't make any junk. So therefore, you got to keep praising your kids. I teach parents to do 3 praises for every one area of improvement. I don't call it criticism. Try to call a kid's name 3 times a day. Try to give them 3 praises a day. And then 3 contacts a day. When I say contacts, a touch on the back, a hug, or some type of positive contact, with a physical contact, so that those kids can know when you give them a praise and give them a hug, that they can remember that because they remember that physical contact. So don't try to give them every criticism. Every time you give a criticism, you know you got to come up with 3 positive awards or some type of praise. And their parents will just remember that. When they walk in the door, don't start criticizing. Mm-hmm. You got to come and find something positive. So 3 positives for every 1 criticism.
That's
or
right.
1 area of improvement. Their parents
Absolutely.
Will just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And call the names.
Mm-hmm.
You can call the name Honey,
yes.
Sugar Pie,
mm-hmm.
other than Bernard, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a sweet name.
A sweet name.
So that they know that this is the name between my mama and
That's
my father.
Right.
Myself. So
I build a relationship with my parents.